I can just imagine Jimmy singing with you this morning. That was his favorite song, wasn't it?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. All right. Well, this morning, our scripture reading is going to be from Romans chapter 6, 1 through 7. And oftentimes I quote this scripture many times to you through various of my messages. The Lord just lays it on my heart. And I just quote it, but this morning I'm going to be preaching through Romans chapter 6, 1 through 7. The title is Dead to Sin, Alive to God. And very appropriate message today before we take our communion together. I always like to tie our message together with our observance of the Lord's Supper because the Lord says, you know, remember why I did this, and it's a benefit for each one of us. And the scriptures that we read and that we study, you know, from God's perspective, it involves our life and how we are to live our life after salvation. And Paul gives us God's perspective, and through inspiration, as the Holy Spirit revealed to Paul what to write, and the people here in Rome, the ones that he was writing this letter to, I guess there were some questions in their minds, you know, what were they to do with grace after being saved? And that is addressed by Paul, and we should know what the scripture says as well. Once we become a Christian, what do we do with our old nature? Well, it's behind us. It's the past. And when he saves us, he saves us past, present, and future. So for the Christian, it shouldn't even enter our mind. How much grace do we need more that we can go on sinning? But as Christians, we put that behind us. See, don't even think about it. It shouldn't even be in our mind or a part of our lives, the old nature, because we, as verse 4 said, we are to live in the newness of life. The newness of life. All right. That was part of the introduction, okay? Here we're going to read the scriptures. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Paul says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so grace may increase or abound? Verse 2, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? That's another question Paul addresses. Verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? You know, when I do baptisms, this is the ones I quote when I baptize, because we are buried in the likeness of Jesus' death, we're raised in the likeness of his resurrection in order to walk in the newness of life. So tying baptism, Jesus' death, and our new life together, that's justification and sanctification all in one right there, okay? All right, and verse 4. Is that right? Yes, verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too walk in the newness of life. I love that scripture. I love that verse. Verse 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And also, Paul talks about that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And then verse 6, knowing this, so we know this, okay? Paul says, okay, knowing this, after I've explained this to you, so knowing this, that our old nature was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, or live in sin, or continue in sin, is what this scripture right here means. And then verse 7, for he who has died is free from sin. Isn't that a great passage of scripture? I love this passage of scripture, because believers are dead to sin, but we are alive to God. We're alive, joyfully, sin-free, because he has redeemed us, he has justified us, and then he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit. So when we look at this scripture here in Romans 6, we'll see that we're more than just sinners. We are also saints in the Lord. Now, I want to give an illustration, an analogy of this dead to sin, but alive to God. Remember Lazarus in John chapter 11? Jesus comes to the city where he is met by Martha and Mary, and they said, you know, Lord, if you had been here, he would have lived. And Jesus said, well, he lives. He said, no worry. Lazarus is okay. He's alive. He's not. He's been dead 4 days. Oh, he's alive. He's alive. And so just Jesus is saying those words had to be a great comfort. So Jesus goes on into the city, to the home where Lazarus lay. And as he looked at the body of Lazarus, he was wrapped with cloth from head to toe, cloth around his face. And he looks at him and he says, take all that stuff off. Take those cloth off and let him rise. And he did. You see what this symbolizes here? Taking off the old cloth, the old sins of our life, and putting on the new life in God. That's what, to me, this is symbolized. Jesus said to them, take off those grave clothes and let him go. Let him live. He's alive. Now, how do we move from the positional, what I would call true, to a personal application to this scripture? And that's what we're going to look at here this morning. Now, verses 3 through 7, I believe as I read it and as I tried to interpret it with the power of the Holy Spirit speaking through me, to me, and I relate this to you, I believe 3 through 7 tells us that we must know things, certain things. We must know certain things, okay? We must grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do, it will what? Show in our life. It will show. If we are growing in our relationship with the Lord, well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if we be in Christ, what? We're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And that's what Paul is saying right here. The old nature, the old sin life, the flesh. Jesus died for our sins, and he has forgiven us of our sins, past, present, and future, in order that we may walk in the newness of life, like Christ did as well. So, first of all, if you're an outline, and if I can get this to pull up here, first thing I want us to look at in verses 3 and 4, know that we are identified with Christ. So, before we were saved, we was identified with the world because of sin. We was walking in darkness, the darkness of sin. But the Bible says, Scripture says, we are in the light of Jesus Christ, who is the true light, the only true light that shines and takes away the darkness. Now, I want us to look at what Paul is saying here in 3 and 4, because I want us it to be fresh in our mind so that we clearly understand the significance of, you know, trying to have more grace to be, you know, for our sin. And God has given us grace, a merciful grace. God is patient, but we don't want to take grace further than what God intends it to be in our life. So again, verse 3, or do you know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus, having been baptized into his death? Now, it was very significant for Jesus to set that example for each one of us when he asked John the Baptist to baptize him in the Jordan River. And John said, hey, I'm not even worthy enough to unlace or tie your sandals. So why are you asking me? You need to be baptizing me. And Jesus looked at John and said, this is a fulfillment of God's command, that I be obedient in all ways. And John baptized Jesus, and the Spirit, like a dove, rested upon Jesus. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. So that's what it means to be baptized in the likeness of Jesus' death. It symbolizes our washing away of our sins, the purification of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same as in the Old Testament when they offered sacrifices, but Jesus died once and for all, who is the perfect sacrifice. All these others was only temporarily, but Jesus Christ's death was a perfect sin sacrifice for the world. And that's why Romans 3:23 says, for there is none good, none at all. And so God provided a way for each one of us. And then verse 4 says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might walk in the newness of life. Now, that is very significant for each one of us, that we are raised through Christ Jesus unto his death. That's what the baptism symbolizes. You know, we want to follow Jesus just like the way that the scriptures lays out, that we're buried and that in death, that means to dump or emerge. It's not the sprinkling thing, it emerges just like Jesus. That means that's burying our sins, putting them away once and for all. As the scripture said, Jesus died once and for all for all sin. Now, water baptism is a divine object lesson for has taken place internally because we are saying, or you may be saying, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and baptize, and this is what we're saying: I died with Christ Jesus, I was buried with him, and now I'm raised with Christ, a brand new life. And that's what it means, walking in the newness life. It's a brand new life. It's something new, a new beginning. And that's why I was saying a few minutes ago, we ought to be growing in our relationship with him, and it will show when we do. And then another part of this is it is my intent to live my life under his leadership and for his glory from this point on. So when we say, Lord, I know I belong to you, from this moment on, I'm living for you. I'm not looking back. I'm not looking back over my shoulders at my old life. I'm not bringing anything back out of the closet. Satan may do that. He'll tempt you. He'll try to make you doubt your salvation. But I tell you what, do as Jesus did. Quote scripture to him. Hey, the scriptures are true. We can believe anything the scripture tells us, but we cannot believe anything Satan says, right? Any temptations or anything that he places in our mind, if we dwell on it too much, it might end up here. And there's so many Christians today who, what Paul is talking about here, they keep on dwelling on their sin or their past nature and robbing them of the joy of their salvation when they could be living in the newness of life and growing, and it is showing that way. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, this makes it very clear to me, this passage of Scripture, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, where it says, "For it is by grace." There's that word grace. Paul uses that word a lot. It is grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, "that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we can't boast anything about our salvation because Christ paid the price for us. We accepted it. We trusted Him with our life, and therefore we can walk in the newness of life. Now, I quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17 to you all ago, and I won't do it again, but it talks about the old nature done away with. Christ took care of that. And therefore, we are dead to sin. That means we no longer have to be slave to sin. As a Christian, Paul says, don't even think about it. Don't even let it enter your mind that you need more grace so you can just keep on living in the life you used to live. That's not the Christian life, right? It's not the Christian life. The Christian life is imitating Jesus Christ. And He set the example for each one of us. And so many people get caught up, well, I'm not Jesus and I can't live like Him because He was perfect in all ways. But the Scripture says we can live that way. If we take the Scriptures and memorize them and dwell upon it and study them and allow the Holy Spirit to indwell us and help us, help the Lord to live His life through us, then we can be like Christ. Amen? That's why we're called Christians. First Christians were called Christians at Antioch. And it was very important for the people to know that they were separated from the world. They were identified with Christ and not with the world. And that's important for the church today, Versailles Baptist Church or any church, to be identified with Christ. Now, the second thing I mentioned about growing in our relationship with Him, and that's what verse 5 is telling us here. We are to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And we must also make sure that our lives lead to that transformation. It's not just a transaction, but it's transformation of our life, is Romans 12, 1 and 2, that it is our reasonable service to the Lord that we be transformed and not conformed to the world. Now, in verse 5 it says, if we have been united with Him like this in His death, we shall certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. Now that's verse 5 I just read. So the phrase united with Him, you think about that. We are united. We are a part of the body of Christ. We are part of the kingdom of God. Literally it means we are to grow along with when we're planted together. We're planted together with the Lord. So it has the idea of being fused together. Fused together. I mean, we're inseparable. Think about that. When we are sealed with the power of the Holy Spirit. I like this saying here, our union with Christ is a living union so that we may bear fruit. Where does the Bible talk about bearing fruit? John chapter 15. The Lord God, He is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. And as the Holy Spirit flows through Jesus Christ, through the vine, into the branches, then we are to bear fruit, just like a fruit tree. Don't you love to watch fruit trees and anything that God has made create bear fruit? It that means it's productive. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing. So an apple tree bears what? Apples. Peach tree, peaches. Pear tree, pears. A cherry tree, cherries. And on and on. Orange trees and gone. On and on and on and on. That's what they do. You know, apple tree don't bear peaches, right? No, it don't do that. And that's why we, a part of Christ, don't bear the fruit of the world. We bear the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, verse 23. That's what our responsibility is. And another part of this, our reunion with Christ, is living a living union so that we bear fruit, a living union, or loving union, so that we may enjoy Him, and an everlasting union so that we may not need to be afraid, because we can do this. Okay. Now, lastly, verse 6 and 7, I'm going to read this again because it's so important for us to know. We must know certain things. We must grow, and finally, it must show in our lives. Verse 6 and 7, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, when we accepted Him as our personal Savior, our old nature just, it was gone. We are not to live in sin any longer. And then in order that our body of sin might be done away with. That done away with is very important. I'll explain that in just a minute. So that we would no longer be slaves to sin, or continue, or dwell, or let that be a part of our life. And then verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. So if we die to our own nature, it's just like a seed you plant in the garden. Any seed, what? For it to live, it has to do what? It has to die. That seed has to die to grow or bear fruit. And when we die to our old nature, we are alive to God to bear fruit, the spiritual fruit that God intends us to bear. So, no longer having to be slaves to sin, and our scripture captures this well. We know that the man we once were was crucified with Christ. And that phrase, as I read in verse 6 a while ago, done away with, literally means rendered powerless. You like that? I do too. That's what it means in Greek. The whole goal is freedom from sin. And Jesus said in John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, who's the Son? Jesus Christ. And He says, you are free indeed. That's sealed. That's what verse Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 means. You are sealed. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. And nothing that Satan can do can take that away from you. So the key to all of this is that born-again believers have been united with Christ. You're united with Him forever. Those who die in Christ are with Him forever. Dean is with Him forever. Those who die, our family, our friends, our loved ones, we'll see them again one of these days. What a grand reunion that would be. And in conclusion, I want to close with Romans 6:11, where it says, the end goal of this identification is to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Dead to sin. So forbid it. Don't even think about it, to continue in sin as a Christian, because we are dead to that. Jesus took care of that. You know what? And that's why we can take communion together, and the bread symbolizes His body and His blood. His shed blood washes away our sin. Buried, but raised in likeness of Christ in order that we might just live in a new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, a new beginning has come. Amen? A new beginning. And that's what our lives are to resemble, the life of Christ. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for the messages that you provide for us through your word. And for us to be able to apply those, we read it, we study it, we pray, we seek your will, your guidance, so that we will grow. And then as we're growing in our relationship with you, then the whole world will see it. It shows. Thank you, Lord, that you give us clear, your clear perspective of our life. And all things work out for the good, for your glory, for all of us who love you and are called according to your purpose and will for our lives. Whatever you have laid on our hearts today, may we respond during this invitation. May we step out, not be ashamed, as Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's just the power of the resurrection. It is. It's all the power. We have the power because of the grace and mercy, and we are dead to sin, but alive to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. May we stand and sing our invitation.